We're going to continue with chapter 40 of the book of Genesis, verse 20. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Just read 16 through 19, and then we'll pick up with verse 20 through 23. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Picking up this week, verse 20, And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. Mentioned last week that the word birthday was not used much in the scriptures. I looked it up. It was used 3 times. It was used in this passage in Genesis 40:20, and then it was used in Matthew 14:6 regarding Herod's birthday. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And then it was used again in Mark, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. So the scripture mentions birthdays in regard to the heathen, but doesn't mention birthdays much. I think the most important birthday, of course, would be the birthday that you're born again. Our first birthday isn't as important as that birthday, and we always seem to celebrate the wrong thing, don't we? Okay, so in this week's passage, we see the continuing saga of Joseph's interpretation of the dreams of the butler and the baker. And we saw that as Joseph had interpreted the dreams and they came to pass, we see that this is typical of the word of God coming to pass. For we know and we're told that that Joseph interpreted came from the Lord, because we're told in Joseph's words that interpretations come from the Lord. So we see that one was taken and one was left. The baker was taken and the butler was left. And I imagine Joseph knew both of these men. So I imagine that he had mixed feelings about this, but don't you suppose that as he saw the results of his interpretations come to be, it must have been some encouragement to him, to his faith, that the right interpretations were brought. It must have verified the fact of his own dreams, that God was working in him, and that his dreams were going to be fulfilled. He then thought, I'm sure, that he had no misunderstanding about God's revelation to him in his dreams, for he knew that God was with him, for God had given him those interpretations. That's an encouragement to Joseph as he languishes in prison. And I believe that he now knew and was sure, it was validated, that God would use him even though he had waited 11 years since his dreams were given him. 11 years of preparation for something. But during those 11 years, we see that Joseph was faithful. But you know, we're also given the fact that Joseph had even figured out how God was going to deliver him. Don't we see that in this passage? We always do that, don't we? We figure out how God is going to do something. And Joseph had in mind how God was going to work in his life, because he had told the butler to remember him to the Pharaoh when the butler found himself lifted up again by Pharaoh. So Joseph must have thought, this is the way God's going to work. This is my freedom here through the butler. I've got it all figured out. Surely I'll be out of prison soon because of my plea to the butler. But we see that this was not to be, for God was not ready to have Joseph in the house of the Pharaoh. God didn't agree with Joseph. Joseph had it figured out, but God didn't figure it out that way. You see, Joseph's figuring out ways were not God's figuring out ways. That's a lesson for us to learn. We ought not to try to figure things out. See? How do we figure things out? Well, figure things out is not faith. See, yielding to God's figuring out ways is faith. For most of the time when we figure something out, it just doesn't come out that way. See? Most of the figuring out that we do is of the flesh. For Joseph's hope was in the memory of the butler. Didn't he ask, "Remember me when you come into favor with the Pharaoh? My hope is in your memory." See, but the butler had a short memory, for we are told that when he was restored, he forgot Joseph. The Bible says forget. That's even more than forgot. See, he forgot Joseph. Oh, you know, when the butler was in the prison, how he needed Joseph. But now that he was in ease and comfort, he no longer needed that slave that he met in the prison. How soon we forget the help of a friend. So Joseph anxiously awaited word from the palace. He anxiously awaited an answer to his plea, but no answer came. Day after day he would think, well, certainly today will be the day that the butler will remember, but no answer came. Now you also have to remember that the butler was treading on thin ice here. He had just been put in prison by the Pharaoh, and yes, he was removed, but don't you think the butler was kind of cautious about his relations with the Pharaoh? So he settles down in the prison. Most likely, Joseph faithfully resumed his duties to the keeper of the prison, faithful every day, doing what he was supposed to do, making the prison work. The keeper of the prison was happy that Joseph was there. Things were getting done. And it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 41, and it came to pass, I love that phrase, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. You know, you think, oh, I wonder when it's going to happen. Well, these "and it came to pass" phrases always give us hope that it's going to come to pass. You know, I think about the Lord coming. We've been saying, oh, I hope it comes to pass. My hope is built on this, see? And it came to pass. Well, you think about the events in your own life. Didn't it come to pass? You say, well, it's never going to come to pass, but it did come to pass. And here Joseph is in the prison, wondering when he's going to get out, no hope. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now, apparently they put people in prison without any date that they were going to get out. You know, we say 10 years to life with parole in 2. See, well, you got hope then. But in these days, apparently, there was no hope. You were in prison for as long as you lived, perhaps. But it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed cattle. Oh, well-favored, fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. A beautiful scene that the Pharaoh is enjoying in the dream. This is a good kind of dream to have, isn't it? You convert those cows into steaks, don't you? You convert them into roasts. Or you convert them into the milk that you can enjoy from a milk cow. They're feeding in a meadow, a beautiful scene. The Pharaoh's happy. But notice this. And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river. There's a shadow that comes over the dream, a dark shadow. Everything's not so peaceful for the Pharaoh. For seven other kind came up after them out of the river. They were ill-favored and lean-fleshed. Oh, skinny cattle. Mangy cattle. They stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. He didn't like this part of the dream. He says, I got to stop dreaming. I don't like this part of the dream. I like the big, fat, fleshed cows in the meadow, but now they're gone, and all I'm left with is these lean cows. So Pharaoh awoke, concerned and disturbed about this dream. And he slept, goes back to sleep, as we would when we have a bad dream. He slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk. That's good, isn't it? Seven ears on one stalk. Oh, that's a bountiful stalk of corn. Bless the Pharaoh. Rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke. Two dreams started out good, but then they ended so poorly, and both of them disturbed the Pharaoh's sleep. And you don't want to disturb the Pharaoh's sleep. When you're around the Pharaoh and he's sleeping, you tiptoe. You don't allow any creaking doors. You know, you want the Pharaoh to have a good night's sleep so he has a good day the next day. That's important. Isn't that true, those of you that have been around the Pharaoh? Oh, you tiptoe, see? But he awakes the second time, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. No, you don't want this to happen. Not in the palace. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Not a happy day in the palace. See, not a happy day in the palace. So we see here in this passage that it's been two full years since the butler's dream had been interpreted by Joseph. Two full years, and again we come to or near the birthday of the Pharaoh. What happened on the two birthdays ago? Well, the butler rose and the baker descended. See? So birthdays are into play here. We're not told that this is the birthday, but it's two full years since the last birthday. Joseph has been in prison, but it's the time for God to lift up Joseph from the prison. This is a happy day in Joseph's life, but it's not a happy day in the Pharaoh's life. And it's definitely not a happy day in the magician's life. See, this was an opportunity for the magicians to show themselves. They couldn't show themselves. See? So Joseph is ready to come out of the prison. Joseph's been tried and tested, and he is now ready for ministry in the court of the Pharaoh. He ministered, yes, in the prison, but now he's ready to minister in the court of the Pharaoh. Joseph is now called by God to be the grand vizier. He's called by God to be the prime minister. He's called by God in the military sense to be the executive officer of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. Wow, one day in the prison, the next the prime minister. I'll tell you, when God lifts you up, he lifts you up. He lifts you up. Joseph's been called by God to be the chief officer of state, responsible for carrying on all the administrative functions of the kingdom, except matters to do with religion. That's interesting, isn't it? No, Joseph, you don't have anything to do with the priests. That's good for Joseph. See? That's good for Joseph. God didn't want him to be involved in the religion of Egypt. But Joseph is the prime minister, see? Joseph is the one to appoint the inspectors, the district inspectors. He is the one who will decide matters having to do with boundaries, land allocations, taxes, and internal security. Joseph will receive visitors from foreign lands. Joseph will keep the local princes in check so that they do not coup the Pharaoh, have any thoughts of grandeur and elevation. Joseph will keep that down, see? Joseph will travel all around Egypt to see to it that everything is in order for the Pharaoh. I can see Joseph traveling around and the officials paying homage to Joseph as he comes into the city or the village and then bowing down, knowing that this is the right-hand man of the Pharaoh. See? Now, for 12 years, Joseph has been preparing for this time. Years of suffering, years of serving, years of humility. This ought to be an example to us as we go through life. Most of life is a preparation for ministry. See? Now you think about our preparation that we would have if we conjured up in our minds how we would prepare for this. We'd say, well, we've got to go to the finest schools. We've got to get our resume up. See? We would think as the world thinks for preparation. But God's preparation for Joseph had been slavery and jailing in the finest prison Egypt could provide. That was his university. See, that's where he went to prepare for ministry. Oh, many may have sent their resumes to the Pharaoh for this position, boasting of their background, their education, their connections, but God would have none of this. Oh, the Pharaoh may have been sitting at his desk saying, well, let's look at this resume. Let's look at this. And they boasted of the finest schools in Egypt, in the world, and said, I can do this for you, Pharaoh, but the Pharaoh would have none of that because God had directed that Joseph was to be elevated into this position. See, this should tell us that preparation is more than going to a university. See, our children are to be prepared in our homes for ministry. See, they're to be prepared through hard knocks. They're to be prepared through suffering, through humility, through serving. In the home. For that's how Joseph was. For God now had in Joseph a prepared servant, prepared to prepare a place for his chosen nation to grow and prosper, that they may be delivered by the same God who will now deliver Joseph from prison. That's the preparation that Joseph had. He had a preparation so that he could prepare a place. So that God through him could prepare a place to grow his people. So it now begins with a dream of Pharaoh. We know that dreams have been a prominent place in Joseph's life. Remember the dreams that had taken place? Joseph had two dreams. His brothers had severely rebuked him. Then the butler and the baker, they had two dreams. And now the Pharaoh has two dreams. We have six dreams here so far. We saw that Joseph had tried to pull strings to use his influence for release from prison, but God would have none of that from this chosen vessel. Oh, we saw that Joseph, you know, in a natural man says, yeah, I can use my influence, but God had no use for that. So Joseph had been 2 full years in the oven of God's testing. Until Joseph was the right temperature for God to lift up and use in the court of Pharaoh. You ladies, when you put something in the oven, you like a cake or something like that, you take that toothpick and you jam it in there and pull it out and see if that's ready, don't you? See? Well, that's what God did to Joseph. Put that toothpick in. Not ready, Joseph. Got 2 more years in the oven of testing before you come out. 2 full years. In the prison, but knowing Joseph, he continued to serve and await God's good pleasure. Boy, that's a lesson for us. oh yeah, we're impatient, we want things to happen, but God's not ready for us, just like he wasn't ready for Joseph. Joseph had been given two dreams that lifted himself up into a position of power. He surely knew that God had a plan for him, so he was ready, he was willing, he even tried to force the door open. But when the time was right, when the Pharaoh's dreams were about to be dreamed, Joseph was now ready to come out of prison. So the king's two dreams sped up the clock. We see in this passage that first he fell asleep, dreamed about cattle. Then he fell asleep and dreamed about corn. We saw seven fat, flourishing cows come out of the Nile. This sight brought immediate joy to the Pharaoh, but the dream was not over. We see bad endings in both of these dreams, for out of the same river came seven more cows, mangy, bony, ill-kempt cows, came ashore. They were famished, and what did they do? They devoured the fat, flourishing cows. So the Pharaoh awakes, perhaps in horror at what he saw, but he soon falls asleep. Not a sleep of peace, for he continued to dream, and now he sees golden fields of corn. He examined the corn closely. He found seven ears of corn came up on one stalk, and it's called rank and good. This is unusual. He's joyous at this occasion, and yet he sees an enemy of the field of good corn stepping out. Seven blotched and blighted ears blasted with the east wind. And by the way, the east wind is never a good wind in the scriptures, is it? It's never a good wind around here either. For when you get an east wind, you got troubles. Well, they had an east wind and they had troubles. For it brought in seven blotched and blighted ears blasted with the east wind, and turned upon the good ears and devoured them. Two bad endings in the Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. You know, this must have been a normal thing for interpretations of dreams in those days. He called those that should be able to interpret these dreams, but none could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now we saw in the past passages that the butler and the baker in the prison did not expect to have their dreams interpreted, but God provided an interpreter. They expected nothing, and they were troubled because there was no interpreter, but God provided an interpreter. Pharaoh, on the contrary, thought he had plenty of interpreters, but he had no interpreter for his dreams. You see, God was the one who would provide the interpreter for these dreams. We see that God was in this, and he shut up the minds of his magicians so that Joseph's mind would be needed. Oh, it's wonderful to see God's hand in this. For the Pharaoh was not getting his money's worth from the staff magicians. High-paid magicians, but they couldn't produce. You know, this was the magician's opportunity to shine. Have you ever been in a meeting where you have an opportunity to shine and, oh, this is wonderful, I have an opportunity to shine, and then you fail? The light goes out. The light goes out. You may be doing a wonderful job for years, but now the opportunity is to show that, and the light goes out. Well, that's what happened with the magicians, see? God had shut up their minds, and the light went out, and they had nothing to tell. Pharaoh gathered the wise men, gathered the sages, gathered the scholars, gathered those that were learned in the study of dreams. They stood before the Pharaoh, all decked out in their distinctive robes. You know, you've seen robes of Merlin, where he has the moon and the stars and all the astrological signs, perhaps standing before the Pharaoh waiting for the answer. They listen to the dreams carefully. They consult with each other, hoping to enlarge their dream interpreting fees, for they charge fees just like most professionals do, and here they fail. But you know, they did not know that they were up against the true God, and this God could in no way be persuaded to tell them what the dreams meant, but instead, this God shut up their minds. You know, as all good servants of the king, as all good bureaucrats, I'm sure they had many platitudes for the Pharaoh. They probably shouted life and prosperity and health to you, old great Pharaoh. Probably bowed down before the Pharaoh, trying to cover up their ignorance about the dream. But they had to admit, oh king, we're baffled. Our God gives no answer. Your God gives no answer. So Pharaoh was still troubled. His spirit was troubled. And he must seek elsewhere for the meaning of his dreams. So the magicians failed on this opportune occasion. Then the next verse, it's interesting that the next verse, now the chief butler comes into play here. You know, that chief butler, I would imagine he tread lightly around the Pharaoh. I would imagine that he spoke cautiously around the Pharaoh, knowing that the Pharaoh was all-powerful and most likely thought of as a god. And the butler could easily have just kept quiet here and just kept in the background here, like most folks would do. I don't want to stick my neck out here because the Pharaoh has a habit of cutting off necks or lifting up necks. So the best thing to do is just to stay in the background. But he doesn't. God pricks his conscience. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He humbles himself before the Pharaoh, which is a good lesson. When you're before the Pharaoh, you better get your nose on the floor and humble yourself before the Pharaoh. And he says, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. Remember that, Pharaoh? 2 years ago, it was on your birthday. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Each one had a unique dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew. I don't know why I didn't remember this earlier, Pharaoh, but it just popped into my mind. On this occasion, when there's a need, when the appropriate time for Joseph to come up and be elevated into the Pharaoh's court, somehow I remembered this. An Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. So the butler had cranked up his backbone. He put some steel in his backbone. He says, I've got to tell the Pharaoh this. Perhaps he had ulterior motives. I don't know, but somehow he was impressed to tell of his experiences in the prison at this time. Oh, God was in this. So he recalls this fellow in prison. And he tells the Pharaoh, after he had seen the failure of the magicians. The Pharaoh was troubled. No help from these magicians. This butler had seen their fear and their embarrassment, and that had caused him to remember a similar occasion when he had so suffered. You know, suffering is good that way. I do remember my faults this day. It brought to him his faults. So he not only remembered his faults, but he remembered Joseph. We're told 2 years ago that he forgot Joseph. But God's timing caused him to remember Joseph at this particular time. Joseph was ready to be lifted up out of the prison. You know, there's a verse in Galatians which this reminded me of. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. But when the fullness of time was come. Oh, this ought to be a lesson for impatience on our part. When the fullness of time was come, Joseph was lifted out of the prison to stand before the Pharaoh. Joseph didn't know this. You know, 12 years is a long time, isn't it? To go from two dreams until he sees the dreams coming to be. So here we see the stage all set by God to bring forth his servant Joseph, for whom he had been preparing this day. God had displayed his perfect wisdom in the perfect timing of the events of Joseph's life. Not a moment too late and not a moment too soon. You know, we've seen that in our lives, haven't we? Oh, we get so impatient. We want things to happen today. But when God gets ready to act, you better watch out. You better get out of the way and let God act. So we see here then in this passage that Pharaoh's dreams had made him ready. Pharaoh's magicians had made the need for Joseph ready, and the butler waiting 2 years to speak brought about the release of Joseph from prison. Now, Joseph, as we see in the following passages, which we'll get into next week, was set to give glory to God. Oh, Joseph, every time we see Joseph in a situation, he gives glory to God for that situation. So he'll give glory to God for his release. Not thinking that he arranged it, God had shown him that he had not arranged it because the butler had forgot him. But at the particular time when the fullness of time came in, God had so arranged things for Joseph to be lifted up and to begin to start his ministry in the court of the Pharaoh. But we'll stop there and pick up next week where we left off here. Thank you, Father, for this time together. We're thankful for the story of Joseph that gives us a type of Christ to see your ministry in his life foretelling the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the scriptures. We pray that we might be attentive in the morning services. In Jesus' name, amen.